Hey, and welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And it's March is Reading Month.
Yeah, the big holiday season in elementary schools. March is Reading Month.
That's right. Depending on where you are in the world, you might be saying, like, what's that now? March is Reading Month. I don't know if we do that in, like, Canada.
That's a great question. Right.
And actually, I want to send a shout out to all the people around the world that listen to us. I get a little map, you know, that says where we're listening to. I mean, every country is represented. It's just awesome to see that there are people in, like, Pakistan, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines.
Yeah, it's amazing that there are people out there. And it just goes to show you that teachers are always working hard to make their experience for their students better.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
For sure. So this episode goes along with March is Reading Month, which is a time when we really focus on kids reading. Mm-hmm. And so this is all about book snaps. Now, I started learning about book snaps from a Facebook group. I saw them and I started to get interested about them and saying, what's a book snap? What is it? Looks cool.
And I started learning about book snaps from Eric when he started learning about book snaps. So I know a little bit about them, but I don't know a ton yet. So I'm really looking forward to this interview as well.
Yeah. So, I'm interviewing Tara Martin, and she is the creator of Book Snaps. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell kind of where this idea came from. And I just want to explain a little bit about them before we begin, because it's a lot of information. So a book snap is basically a picture from a part of a book. So it could be a section that that really connected with you.
Okay.
Or just like, you know, a paragraph or one line or something like that. Just anything that spoke to you while you were reading it. So obviously this could look a lot different for a, you know, middle schooler or high schooler than it would to an elementary student.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say you find this part of the book you're really into or it really spoke to you. You take a picture of it, and then from there, you add emojis. You can add text to rephrase the line you really like or to make it really stand out. Mm-hmm. And you also can add either audio or words to talk about the book, who wrote it, those kind of things. So you're kind of – it's this whole way to share a section of a book with others to really get down to more than just, hey, this book is great. But
I like this book. It was fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, usually at this level, like second grade – the connections that kids make to books are kind of weak. It's like, you know, this part in the book with a dog reminds me, I used to have a dog.
Yeah.
Rather than really getting into the emotion. And so emojis, bitmojis, we talk about those as well. Things that you can do that kids really understand. They're so tech literate and so tech savvy that you can use those kind of things to have them share. So the kids would take a picture, add emojis, add some words, add some audio of them explaining why that part spoke to them. And then you really get to hear that connection. And you also get to hear kind of, do they understand the book? Are they really understanding what they're reading?
Right.
So let's hear what Tara Martin had to say about book snaps and where the idea came from. I'm here with Tara Martin, and she is the creator of Book Snaps. And Tara, before we get into Book Snaps, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I live in Lawrence, Kansas. I work for Lawrence Public Schools, and currently I've been an elementary teacher, an instructional coach, a learning coach, and currently I work as a curriculum facilitator. I do a lot of I do all kinds of things, but one of the things in my role that I love most is integrating technology into the classroom in a meaningful way that's more than just substitution. So more like redefinition. I mean, ideally, that's where we always want to head. So it's one of my most favorite things to do with the kiddos right now. I don't only work with 14 elementary schools. I also get to dabble in working with our four middle schools. When it comes to integrating technology into the classroom, our middle schools are now one-to-one. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about Book Snaps, how you came about the idea, and what it is for people that are not familiar?
So Book Snaps was kind of birthed. I've been married to my high school sweetheart for 18 years, and we have a little boy who's not so little. He's 15, and he lives on Snapchat, and it was driving me pretty much bonkers because he literally takes pictures of himself all day long, and that's how he communicates with his friends. And so I was like, man, this is, there's got to be something better to do with that app, because all my friends, like the grownups, we were like totally hating on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Well, I, at that time, that was August of this past year, 2016, I didn't have Snapchat on my phone, but I went ahead and downloaded it and started playing around with it. I couldn't really figure it out at first. And I loved to read. So I started taking snaps of what I was reading, and I didn't even have a Bitmoji then. I was just using emojis to kind of annotate, like create a visual representation of what I was thinking when I read that quote.
Yeah.
And then I called my 15-year-old down, Caleb. I was like, hey, bud, come show me how to use Snapchat. I kind of told him what I was wanting to do with it. And he gave me this quick, like 15-minute lesson on how to, all these features about it that I didn't even know existed. And that's kind of how it was birthed. And so I wrote a blog about it. I was like, this is really fun. And that's really basically where it started.
Nice. And so it started with Snapchat. And for people, by the way, that don't know what Bitmoji is, it is like a life-changing, awesome emoji app where you can build your own avatar and you can use it in your text, in emails. You can use it in anything. I know a lot of people use it in presentations, but it's just like a little avatar of yourself with cool little sayings and things over it. So for people that have not used that, you have to check out Bitmoji for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just bitmoji.com. And actually, if you go to my website, which is taramartin.com, so it has an extra M in the middle, you can just type in book snaps in the search bar at the top of my website. It'll give you all the different links that'll take you to all resources on book snaps that I have currently. But I was going to say one more thing about the bird, like the way book snaps got more eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wrote it in August, and I don't know. I don't even know how many people might have read that post. I, of course, posted it out to Twitter, but I didn't have very many followers or anything. I just joined Twitter, I think it was June of this past year when I met George Kuros.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Twitter account, but I didn't really use it. So that's kind of how my blog, I just had like just a handful of followers. But Dave Burgess, who is the publisher of Innovator's Mindset and the writer and the New York Times best-selling author of Teach Like a Pirate, he had read the Booksnaps blog, and he was like, Tara, this is really cool. Would you guest post for me? And oh, wow. I was such a rookie blogger. I was like, OM to the G. Like, I'm not even sure if I'm good enough or something like that. He's like, seriously, you could just write the same thing you just wrote, but in my post. And it'll get more eyes on it. I think more people need to see this.
Yeah.
Well, he has like, you know, he has like, I don't know, 80,000 followers or something like that. And so that is really when people started to see Booksnaps for the first time and the notifications. That was in November. And that's really when I would call it the Booksnaps movement. I didn't even want to name it something like that. But when it really started taking hold, and people were like, oh, this is really cool. We could use this in the classroom. And it was, that's when all of the emails started coming in. How are you doing this? And kind of leads to like why I had to start discovering other apps for doing Booksnaps. Originally, it was just with Snapchat.
Well, take us through a Booksnap. So whether it's Snapchat or different apps, we'll get into that in a minute. But take us through what you do with Snapchat, for example, in a classroom, and just take us step by step through a Booksnap.
Oh, okay. So basically, when you open Snapchat, you just go to the very first thing you'll see is you'll just see like a blank screen, and you see a big circle at the bottom. And so you find a quote that's resonating with you. And one thing I love, love, love to tell teachers is please don't put a rubric or parameters on book snaps. Like, let kids connect to text the way that they connect to it, because really it can become a digital worksheet if we start to put all these parameters on it and we make it not fun anymore. So one thing I love to say in presentations when I'm talking about book snaps or when I'm teaching teachers to use them in the classroom is let kids personally connect with the text, because what they come up with is so much more meaningful than what we would put this limitation on them. So all that being said, my little rant, you just find the quote that's resonating with you, and what they come up with the book snap is all uniquely different because of their background and their personal connections. So they take the snap. The first thing I like them to do is to annotate. So find the text button, which is the T at the top, and actually type in what it is that's resonating with them with words. Now, for our little people, kindergarten, we have a little different way of doing that. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who can put it into words or they can capture the quote, we do like them to write the quote. We also try to teach them to put it in quotations unless they're rewording it.
Okay.
And the next thing that's super important to remind students is you're taking a picture of someone's work. So it's super important that we credit the author, be it their like a hashtag in their last name, or if you just want to write out their first and last name. And then I typically hashtag the book title because I send mine on social media. But no matter what, we need to credit the author and the book title. Mm-hmm. There are ways to make custom stickers. So a lot of times we get around that. We just make a custom sticker of the cover of the book, and that always comes on the book snap, and that kind of takes care of that author and title business. But no matter what, we need to make sure that that is visible when we do the book snap. So that's important. Then there's a little page at the top in between the scissors and the T. If you're on Snapchat, there's a little, looks like a little page with a corner lifted up. That's where I go and just, you can scan, you scroll to the right, and you can find all sorts of stickers and emojis and filters and all sorts of things that, and they have a seasonal one in Snapchat that changes all the time. And so you just find the ones that actually make sense with the text. Now, this is tricky when you're dealing with K-1-2 because they start to find, you know, stickers that they like. I mean, it doesn't really match the text, but they're cool, you know? And so they want to slide them in. And this is a perfect time to teach, like, not only digital citizenship, but actually is when you read the text, and does that sticker match the picture that's going on in your head? And if you say no, then we need to keep looking because there might be a better image that represents what you're thinking.
Yeah, so I love that because I did a snap the other day with a student, and it was a Magic Treehouse book, and it had to do with knights. And so he had a few emojis that were about someone being scared, about something else happening, like some pretty normal emojis. Then he just put a bunch of random, like, weapon emojis. And at first I was like, oh, man, I got to talk to him about weapons. That's not appropriate. But instead it was easier just to say, does this really fit what's going on here? And that kind of just that digital citizenship piece, I think, is really organic with this. It doesn't seem like you're saying, like a worksheet where there's a right or a wrong. You take each individual situation and you just meet with a child about it. Use that as that learning opportunity.
Exactly. And I love that you don't have to tell them, you know, this is inappropriate. But when you say, does this really connect to the text? Is that the image that you're seeing when you read that piece? And they almost immediately are like, no, I got to throw that in the trash can. And you didn't even have to say, like, even if they put something inappropriate or that maybe just like a sword or whatever, sure, and you're not using swords, you didn't even have to really address that. It didn't match the text, so they didn't need it anyway.
Sure, and I think that in my classroom, I try not to put too much parameters on that. And like you said, a sword in one situation doesn't fit at all, and in another situation, it totally does fit. And yeah, like you said, it's not as much about appropriate, inappropriate, and all these rules, but just like, well, how does that really fit, and how does that bring your thinking to life?
Exactly. One of the things, I had my little three-year-old niece, I've been teaching her how to make book snaps, and it's hilarious, but she was doing the Hungry Caterpillar the other day, and I posted it on my Twitter feed. But one of the things, she went back, so she took a book snap of the caterpillar once he had eaten and he was full. And then she went back a few pages because she wanted to count all of the things that he ate. So he ate one apple and two pears or whatever. And she wanted to find all of those emojis and put them on her book snap. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. She's 3 years old. And not only she knew that this was, he was full, and that's the snap that she took the picture of, but she wanted to express on her book snap why he was full. And I didn't really help her. She just went back and grabbed all of these fruits and pizzas and a lollipop. It's just neat to see kids making meaning in a visual digital representation of text.
Yeah, and you know, that brings me kind of to how I found out about book snaps. And there might be some people listening right now that are thinking, well, Snapchat, you can't really use that with young learners. Bitmoji, that's not really appropriate either for an elementary setting. And I came across some folks that were using book snaps, and I said, wow, what is this? And I Googled it and found you, found your blog, and found some of your Twitter posts, and was immediately loving it. So Snapchat is one way, but Seesaw is an awesome way for young learners to use book snaps. So tell us about that. Like, if you had younger learners, what would that look like?
Certainly. And I recently did a speedy webinar for PD and your PJs with Seesaw about book snaps. So if you could check that out on our on my resource page too. It's a fantastic app for book snaps. It allows you to have emojis, but not necessarily bitmojis. Mm-hmm. And for the little people, especially like kindergarten, preschool age, I do think Seesaw is fantastic for our little people in kindergarten, first grade, any grade level really, but especially for those lower grades that they can't like quite type out all the text for their annotation, but they can record it via audio. I love it because they share why they created their digital visual representation of that page audio, and they record it that way. And then their friends come in and comment on their book snap in their feed view, and they comment with audio. And I love walking into the kindergarten class and they run up to me. They're like, listen to this. So-and-so commented on my book snap, and it's all audio. And I just think it's fantastic to see how one kid is thinking when they read the text, and then another kid is commenting, you know, when I read that text, I actually thought about this.
Right.
So they're having these incredible conversations, almost like Socratic seminar, but like on a much lower level. It's really awesome. And Seesaw is a great platform for that.
Yeah, and I love the fact that with Seesaw, it takes all the pieces that would make it harder and frustrating. You know, whether your school might block Snapchat, you know, the logins, the, you know, having to have email or this or that, and just really simplifies it down to more about what the kids are doing, the product. And I, you know, like with my kids today, it was great. I don't always get to meet with all my kids every day in reading. And it was great today to just say, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to read this chapter in your chapter book, and then I want you to take a book snap. And I did not have to tell them at the end or beginning or anything else. Just sometime while you're reading, if you find something, you take a book snap. And to see the amount of different types of things that come in, I never know what I'm going to get. But I can always tell whether a child understands what's going on in the book, whether or not they're making connections. And you could tell all that from like a 30-second quick little video. And I know too, my kids, you know, even second graders, they don't always like annotating as much. They want to be quicker. So I like also, like you were saying, the ability that if they need to, they can record their voice, they can record and tell who the author is or the book, rather than having to type it all out. But I encourage them as we go along to add more and more annotation, like you're saying.
That's just the beauty of book snaps in general, is that it is visible thinking. We are able to literally peek into the minds of our students, all of them at one time, even when we're not teaching them at that moment, and understand if they're one, making sense of what they're learning, or if they're missing it. And even if we think they're missing it, I'll tell you a story about this in a minute. They could just be making a personal connection that's so different than what we could ever imagine by reading that text. And to me, that also is so amazing to allow kids to have that voice.
I agree. Well, that kind of segues right into the next part. The question I had for you was, what are some great examples of book snaps that you've seen or gotten?
So, I love the hashtag book snaps. If you don't follow it on Twitter, any listeners out there, you should. It's just fabulous. And it's so, every single book snap is so different. And even like right now, I'm in an iMOOC book study for the second round. And we're all reading the same text. And the way we connect to sometimes even the same quote, our book snaps look totally different. But some stories I would like to share with you are the emails that I get about book snaps. Eric, they're just phenomenal. And I honestly would have never dreamt that book snaps could take this kind of twist and make this type of connection with students. So one that I got just a couple of days ago was from a library and media specialist. And she told me about this student who has PTSD, and she's a select mute, and she has been since she was 5 years old. And so they have never heard her speak at school, and she's now a senior in high school. But the library media specialist taught them how to take book snaps. And she said, in her quotes, she's crushing book snaps. And it was so adorable. But she started to explain to me how this girl who has never spoken, they've never heard her speak, how she's found her language and is communicating back and forth with the teacher. They upload their book snaps to Padlet. And I totally recommend that if you're trying to get them all in one spot to look at them. Mm-hmm. And the teacher will comment, and then she will comment underneath it. But the connections she's making with the text, it's beautiful. But the best part is, she's like, I've never had such rich conversations with this child. And I'm so happy that book snaps was a language that she could speak. So that was just one story.
That's awesome.
That I really, really like.
Yeah, I think that the more, you know, we've talked about this on our podcast quite often, which is, the more you lock it down, whether it be a worksheet or things where you're basically giving the child all the rules going in, you know, here's the right way, here's the wrong way, you miss a lot of those things. You miss those really great teachable moments and the different languages that kids speak in. And I've noticed after only using book snaps for the last 3 weeks in my classroom, number one, my kids really like it. They genuinely like doing it. And number two, I get to really hear their voices. When we're in a group and I'm asking for connections, they generally are very simple connections. It's very hard for them to go above and beyond the basic, you know, we're reading about a dog, I know a dog, those kind of things, where, you know, they really make nice and interesting connections for whatever reason with emojis. It's really interesting that emojis are the child's language.
It is, and it's what they use all the time. They're always texting. We have a very visual, digital native group right now of kiddos, and they're familiar with all of these images. And really, there's a lot of brain science behind book snaps, and I know we don't have tons of time to talk about it. The fact that kids can actually create a book snap, it seems fun and exciting and okay, that's why we're doing this, but it actually can do more than that. It can help kids not only make a connection, a personal connection to the text, but remember it for a longer amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about resources. So where can people go? You'd mentioned Twitter, and you can, and you have your own Twitter handle, but you also have one for book snaps, and you'd mentioned you had a website, and it'd be great if you'd say that again. Any other resources you can think of to help teachers out there to get started with book snaps?
Certainly. Actually, my website is probably the easiest place for you to find all of the resources. If you go to taramartin.com, the fourth tab over is resources, and the first one down is book snaps, how-to videos, and examples. Everything you need is there. Honestly,
Okay.
On how to upload them to Padlet. There's a new tack that just has all resources all connected right there that has the two main videos that I use, which is Snapchat and Google Drawing for making book snaps. And then also how to create your avatar. I mean, everything you need is there. If you're wondering, like, how are people even using book snaps? If you go to Book Snaps Snapping for Learning on my website, it's one blog. It's another place where you can just see multiple ways to and multiple reasons why kids would possibly want to create book snaps. And the hashtag is hashtag book snaps, of course. My Twitter handle is at Tara Martin, EDU. The book snaps one is at book snaps, REAL, just real, just like it is on my website. If you go there, I typically only try to retweet just a few things so you can find the resources. It's pretty much just a house of resources.
Fantastic. We'll make sure we put a link to your website on our Facebook and Twitter feeds as well as this podcast comes out. Well, Tara, thank you so much for being with us. It was really fun talking to you, and what a fun, easy, and really meaningful way to have kids share what's going on inside their brains while they're reading.
Thank you so much, Eric, for having me. And to all the listeners out there, if you try book snaps and you send them out on Twitter with the hashtag book snaps, I'll make sure to show your kids a lot of love. I know that an authentic audience for students is always super helpful. So before I go to bed each night, I go down the hashtag and try to comment on everything that I see, especially student work.
What I love about things like that, when I go to a conference or I listen to a speaker like that, and I get something I can use tomorrow. I can start doing these in my classroom tomorrow. I think what I connected to when I do my guided reading groups, I don't always get to every reading group. You know, we're differentiating for all of our students, and we've got five or six groups in my classroom. And if we're really getting into books and depthly, I don't always get to meet with every group. And so now this is a great way. I have the kids do a book snap and share it with me through Seesaw or something like that. And this is a great way for me to have like that virtual check-in with all of my students, even though I didn't sit down and have a face-to-face with them that day.
Yeah, and I think that I really like the way that, especially in the lower L, we spend so much time on decoding words, mm-hmm. vocabulary, that sometimes we forget that the reason we read as adults is because we make connections to a book,
right.
The enjoyment, and really the comprehension of what we're reading. Sometimes that gets left out, where I feel like book snaps is a fun way to really make sure that kids are connecting to the books they're reading in this way. So, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we've been trying to do this in school forever. Right, with reading journals and logs and things like that, and what did you learn? But this is with the technology piece of it, it just makes it so much more interesting for the students.
Yeah, and just like Tara and I talked about, it's not something that I created. So they don't have to play by my rules.
Right.
They don't have to fill out the comprehension worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
I think those things still have their place, but when you let the kids create, you're going to get things that were unexpected, and you're going to really hear their voice come through
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, you don't hear that when you create the materials. So, all right. Well, a couple quick things. You're going to want to make sure you listen to our next episode because coming up next week is McCall,
mm-hmm.
which is the Michigan Association of Computer Users and Learners Conference.
Yes. Uh-huh.
This is a huge regional conference in Michigan, and there's over 5,000 people there every year. Tons of great ideas, and we're going to be recording while we're there interviewing people about what they've seen, some trends they see coming down the road.
Yep.
And
Eric and I both present there, so we're really looking forward to if any of you are going to attend that conference, check out one of our sessions.
Yeah, we'd love to see you.
Yep.
We'd love to see you.
And I think check out our Facebook during that time because we're going to try to do a couple quick Facebook Live things. Maybe we'll just grab a couple people and interview them or schedule some interviews. So check our Facebook account out. You'll either see it live or you can see it in the stream.
Yeah, and as Teachers Talk in Tech is the group on Facebook.
Yep.
We'd love for you to follow us, and we try to put a lot of stuff up on there for you.
If you're at McCall and you come to one of our sessions, tell us, hey, I listen to your Teachers Talk in Tech. We'll give you some swag. We got some stickers to pass out.
That's right. That's right. We're getting fancy.
Yeah, right.
All right. So don't forget, too, you can connect with us on Twitter at Teach Some Tech. is our Twitter handle. You can also go to YouTube and follow Teachers Talking Tech on YouTube. We love hearing from you, and it's really fun to hear all of the feedback. In fact, one of the feedback pieces that we responded to, somebody said, you know what would be great is if you guys had notes that go along with your show. She's like, I walk my dog. And so sometimes by the time I get home, I forget what that website was or what that app was. Mm-hmm. So from here on out, we're going to do some show notes, and you can find them by following us on Facebook, and we'll have a link.
Post the link to the Google Doc, yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. This is Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
See ya.